Good morning. The topic today is, are dreams real? And obviously the answer is, of course they're real. Maybe a better title would be, do they mean anything? So we know in secular literature, Freud was famous for his book, The Interpretation of Dreams, the very, very beginning of the 20th century. Towards the middle of the 20th century, we had Jung, who was Mechadish, his sefer on the nature of dreams. We'll be exploring today some of the main chidushim of Freud and Jung. But as a way of introduction, the whole notion of sleep is very interesting. We had a shiur a while back, how much sleep do we actually need? But philosophically, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way where a third of our life were unconscious is somewhat strange. Now, the point of sleep, I'll read to you here from the Derech Hashem. The Ramchal shares with us the reason why we have the creation known as slumber, Shena. The highest wisdom decreed that it was appropriate to divide the day into two parts, one for activity and the other for rest. The daily cycle is thus divided into day and night, day being the time of activity and night the time of rest. God also gave living creatures a nature, causing them to sleep, so that both they and their spirit should rest from their normal activity. At that time, their strength is renewed both physically and spiritually, and they awake in the morning again, ready for their daily tasks. When the man sleeps, his faculties rest, his senses are quiet, and his mind is relaxed and hushed. The only thing that continues to function is his imagination. And this conceives and envisions various images. Some of these images arise from the individual's experiences while awake. Others may be the result of chemicals that rise in the brain. Such are the stimuli for normal dreams, those which are experienced by everyone. So if you were to ask the question, why do we sleep? The simple answer seems to be, it's a hischadshus, it's a rejuvenation, physically and spiritually, of all living beings. While we're sleeping, we have something known as a dream. Where do dreams come from? So the truth is, there's a Marsha and others who explain there are three shrushim, potentially, for dreams. Three different sources. One is really a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either informing us of the future, being ma'orer, trying to inspire us for tshuva or something else. The second is that it comes from thoughts throughout the day, whatever our mind is focused on. So then when we're sleeping, that's when all of those thoughts come out and they play within the playground of the mind. And the third source is from Shadim. Shadim. Those are the three different shrushim of dreams. So the way the Ramchal explains it, though, in the Derech Hashem, is that the most common normal dream is coming from the result of what's going on in the mind throughout the day. God also decreed that the bond between the body and the divine soul should be somewhat loosened while man sleeps. The portions of the soul from Ruach and above then arise and sever themselves from the body. Only one portion, the nefesh, remains with the lower animal soul. The freed portions of the soul can then move about in the spiritual realm wherever they are allowed. They can interact and associate with such spiritual beings as angels who oversee natural phenomena. So when the soul is freed, or at least a vast majority of the human spirit is allowed to soar during that time when man is sleeping, it sounds like part of the reason for that is that we're able to interact, associate, and connect with spiritual forces and beings that otherwise we would have no connection with. We'll see likely that also enables one potentially to have an interaction with a family member or a loved one who's no longer within the confines of Olam Hazeh. Now he does conclude this section of Cholamos, where he quotes from the Chazal and Brachos, that Eifshar lechalom bli devarim betelim. We find many different ideas regarding dreams in Chazal. The Gemara and Brachos in one place tells us that a dream is 1/60th of Nevuah. At the same point, we also have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, dreams are lo mailin velo maridin, which Poshibshat means they mean nothing. Don't read into them too much. The most you could read into a dream is maybe getting an insight into yourself. Okay. And even dreams who might have, that might have some level of truth to it. Eifshar lechalom bli devarim betelim. So interwoven with every dream, you'll definitely have the devarim betelim, things that have no real significance. But here we have in the writings of the Ramchal an insight into the purpose of sleep in general. It's a rejuvenation of the physical and the spiritual. And during that time, the spirit is allowed to roam and to soar free, being able to interact with forces and realms of clarity that generally in our daily activity we would have no shaychus to. The notion of washing the tilas yadayim in the morning is because at that point, when one is waking up, all of those aspects of the neshama are coming back into the guf, and hence there's some level of ruach ra. That's the idea of the tilas yadayim. As we jump into the sugya of Cholamos, I'll share with you an interesting, a real-life shaila, part of the literature that we have post-October 7th. There is a man living in a kibbutz, one of the kibbutzim in the south, on the border of Gaza. And the reason he was living there was based on the hadracha of his great Rebbe. He himself was born secular, and he spent much of his life as a secular Israeli. However, he had a whole journey, and through a relationship he had with a special mentor, he became religious. He then had the shaila, do I stay in the kibbutz? Because in the kibbutz he was living in, it sounds like there were some from Yidden, there were mostly chilonim. And the hadracha was, you should stay there. You have chaverim, you have people to connect with, you have other from Yidden, and ultimately you could be a hashpa. You could be an influence in a positive way to others. The night of October 7th, Friday night, he has a dream. And the dream is of his Rebbe telling him that you're in grave danger. You and your wife and your children should get in the car right now and drive as far away from this kibbutz as you possibly can. He wakes up and he goes back to sleep. It's a dream. Second time it happens, it seems like it's even more intense, and he feels his Rebbe taking both hands around his neck. That's the way he describes it. Almost choking him, saying, get up and take your family and leave now. At that point, he wakes up. He could still feel that pressure around his neck. He wakes up his wife, takes her and the children in the car, and they drive Friday night miles away from the kibbutz. When they wake up in the morning, they become aware of the incredible tragedies that have taken place, and it becomes revealed that obviously this dream had significance. The question that he posed later on to Yitzchak Zilberstein was, did I do the right thing? Which is a very insightful question, because we have this notion that the correct decision is based on how did things work out. And that's not always true. Oftentimes, the Das Torah or the Halacha is, you should do this. And whether or not it works out to my liking, that doesn't reveal anything about the validity of the actual psak. So he had a very insightful question. Did I do the right thing? Was that the proper halacha? When you think about it, it sounds crazy. You're being mechalel Shabbos deraisa because of a dream. So I'd like to explore, we'll leave with a cliffhanger for a moment before we hear the answer of Rav Zilberstein. Let's go through some of the sources and we'll get back to what you would suggest the answer is. We have from the Hagdama of Rav Chaim Volozhin to the Parish of the Gra and the Sifra Tzniusa and the Zohar, Rav Chaim Volozhin writes that what the neshama is able to be masig, able to grasp during those hours of sleep, al yidei aliyas neshama b'shashue elyon b'mesivisin aloin ein nechshav etzlo kol kach le'ikar gadol. So he agrees to what the Ramchal is telling us, that when the neshama is able to soar free, the ability of acquiring knowledge is amplified. But to his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Volozhin is writing, to my Rebbe, the Gra, those insights were not that big of a deal. He didn't care too much about that. He also only slept 2 hours within 24 hours, so he probably didn't get much of it anyway. Ha'ikr ma she'odem masig b'zeh olam. In the Gra's worldview, the main accomplishment was, what can I do while I'm conscious? Al yedei omol v'yagia kasher hu bocher betov mafana atzmo ledivrei Torah. When I'm alive and I'm conscious and I'm actually exerting myself and pouring in all of my kochos to growth and to limud HaTorah, that's what changes a person, that's what elevates a person. Masha neshama masagis b'sheina, shehu b'lo yagia, hu b'lo b'chira. That which you're able to receive while sleeping, which is not the byproduct of b'chira or yagia, that doesn't mean so much at all. We know in the same introduction, Chaim Volozhin explains that his Rebbe, the Gra, would tell him often. It wasn't just a one-time conversation, but he mentioned this a few times, presumably to get across the message, that Magidim would come to the Gra, and they would beg the Gra to teach him Torah. Can we share with you Sodos Min HaShemayim? And the incredible thing, just parenthetically, is that when you hear these kind of stories, generally speaking, you should be skeptical, because generally they're sheker v'chazov. However, when you have Rav Chaim Volozhin writing this, saying that this is what my Rebbe told me many times, this is an authentic story. The Gra told Rav Chaim Volozhin that often magidim, meaning malachim, would come to him and ask, can they share Torah min haShemayim? And his response would always be, oh, stop bothering me. I'm in the middle of a Rashba. Can you please just leave me alone? He would always deny the opportunity. He says there was this one malach who was so persistent, kept on coming back all the time, known as the mother-in-law malach. And the Gra said, no matter how much you push, the answer will always be the same. I don't want to hear any Torah from you, based on this hashkafa, which is, if it's Torah given to me, it's spoon-fed, even though in a very spiritual, exotic way, if it's not through Yagiyah and the Melis, it doesn't mean much at all. No thank you. And then he told Rav Chaim Volozhin, please go tell my brother, if some of these same angels come to you asking to share Torah with you, please deny them as well. I don't want you to lose out on your Kinyan HaTorah. So there's a famous question on this from Chaim Volozhin. How about the Beis Yosef? We have a whole sefer written by the Beis Yosef based on conversations he had with the Malach, with the Magid. So Rav Chaim Volozhin addresses this himself in the Hagdama to the Sifra Tzniusa. And he says, you might have the kasha from the Beis Yosef. He says there's two terutzim. First of all, the Beis Yosef lived before the Gra. He was in a different door, right? The Gra lived in the 1700s. The Beis Yosef was in the 1500s. And he lived in Eretz Yisrael. It's a whole different set of rules when you're living in Eretz Yisrael in the 16th century. It could be the Beis Yosef felt he wouldn't be compromising on his Kinyan HaTorah. So that requires more analysis, but that's what Rav Chaim Volozhin writes. Now, it's known, b'shem the Arizal, that the whole notion of sleep was created by Hashem, like the Ramchal told us, sheyotze mimenu nishmoso, and then oz yosig odim rozen iloin. The goal of sleep is that the neshama should be freed from the body to be able to receive incredible secrets. Kol zman, the neshama is trapped within this world, within the body. Many of these ideas are disconnected from the neshama. Now the Gra would tell you that that's true, but I don't cherish those chidushim the same way I cherish the chidushim that I work through when I'm conscious. There's a line in the Gemara that's often used that Rav Sheshis would say about Rav when he felt that Rav was saying a halacha that he did not understand. The phrase is, "Kinoim v'shochav amar Rav l'hosh maiso." Now, the simple translation of that is, it must be that Rav was sleeping when he said this halacha. Okay, so the way that most understand that line of Rav Sheshis is, it's a shtoch. Right, Yamamish making no sense whatsoever. He must have been dozing in and out of consciousness. And because of this Pashub Shat, the Chavis Yor and the Tshuva is very bothered by this. How can Rav Sheshis say this about the great Amora Rav? So there's a Tshuva of the Imre Bina where he says, it's very likely that Rav Sheshis was not demeaning or being Mevaza Rav by saying he must have been sleeping. To the contrary, it could have been an expression of being mechabed him. He's saying something that is so difficult to understand, it must be kinoim v'shochev rav, v'oz hisig devar mesher ein b'yecholus lehasik yishu neir v'nishmasu b'gufo. Must be he received this chachma not through his own amelus, but when he was sleeping, and therefore he was able to find insight into things that generally we would not understand with our own human intellect. When we think about the losses that we have in Galus over these last almost 2,000 years, so generally we think about the disconnect from the Shekhinah, not seeing Nisim, lacking clarity in Ruchnius in general. Now, part of this list should be our own ability to have levels of Ruach HaKodesh. The Yaris Devash of Yonason Eibschitz writes that when you think about what are we really lacking in Gullis, all of the chitzonius, all of the superficial things that we might have if we were living in Yerushalayim during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, all of those things, whatever, they're temporary. We're only alive for a few years in Olam Hazeh, and then we leave Olam Hazeh. Rak kol hamad v'histaklus hashchina. The only thing that bothers us about Gullis is the histaklus hashchina, the fact that we don't have Hashem with us. However, even though we're lacking that tangible relationship and we no longer have nevuah, b'chalo medaber bo ki nevuah nistalka avo belayla hesigu chachmei dor b'chalomos amitos rozin iloin. It's true we might not have the same hashras hashchina, and it's true we might not have prophecy. However, through chalomos, through dreams, at least for the chachmei dor, the great gedolim of every generation, they're able to find insights that are similar to nevuah. Ad she'omru chochem odif minavi. Just like the Gemara in Baba Basra says, that a chacham in some ways is actually greater than a prophet. V'kama malos hisig arizal, the Yaros Devash concludes by saying, so many of the great qualities that the Arizal was able to acquire in his lifetime were be'es sheina, were during the times that he was asleep. V'im kein ze maimer hakra, beboker tomer mi yitein erev. Sheyia laila v'nizka sheyia kol dodi dofik bonu b'chaloma laila asher od yodu natu aleinu. There's an idea that mi yitein erev, pashubshat, means a person is struggling and suffering so much. This is part of the tochacha, that when it's day, I could only think about when will it be night. But on a deeper level, it could very well be, says the Yaros Devash, that mi yitein erev is also a positive. I long for those moments, even if I believe in the Groz worldview, where my ikar accomplishment as a human being is only when I'm awake and I'm learning with Yegia, but I still long for those moments of connection that I'm able to have belaila b'chalom when I have no other constraints. Now the truth is, even the Gra himself, when he was revealed certain ideas in a dream, he took them seriously to the point where he would want to remember them and write them down, because ultimately he assumed they were true. In the Keser Rosh written by Rav Chaim Volozhin, again speaking about his great Rebbe, the Gra, he says, Gidu la ha-Gra zal b'chalom kam esodos, that there was one time the Gra was sleeping, when he was dozing off for 7 minutes, and it was revealed to him many secrets of Torah. And when he got up in the morning, samach v'choshev behem takef, he was happy with what he received, and he thought about them immediately, kodem birchas haTorah. However, he thought about them before birchas haTorah, v'nelmu mimenu, and then they were lost from him. He forgot what those sodos were. And therefore, the rest of the morning, he was feeling the pain and anguish of forgetting those insights he had during the dream. Now, let me ask you a parenthetical question. Do you have to make Birchas HaTorah if you're only thinking in Torah?
Doesn't the Gra say that you have to?
Oh! That's the Gra Lashitaso! The Gra holds that even if you're only going to be thinking in Torah, which is Lechora Keneged the Mechaber and the Ramah, in the beginning of Mem Zayin. But the Gra's Shita was, even thinking in Torah requires Birchas HaTorah. Because it says in the Pasuk, V'hagisa bo yom v'layla, and the language of V'hagisa explains the Gra, is Higayon. Even if I'm thinking in Torah, that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah that requires Birchas HaTorah. So this is the Gra l'shitaso. He was thinking in Torah before he said Birchas HaTorah. Then he forgot what those sodos were, and he was bitzar. V'acher kach nizker hakol al nachon. But then afterwards, Baruch Hashem, he was able to remember what those insights were. V'samach, and he was happy based on retrieving them. The Gra said about the Baal Shem Tov that hakol hoya b'she'elas chalom, that which the Baal Shem Tov was able to know was through She'elas Chalom B'chol Laila. The Baal Shem Tov would utilize the night B'davka to find out as much information as possible. Now, if you were to ask the Gra, is that the ultimate way of growing in your Avodas Hashem? He might say no. And that's why he argued with the Hasidim. I just made that up. Sounds good, though. Now, some of the dreams that either we read about or that we ourselves personally have experienced throughout the years or hearing from others, is an interaction with a particular person. Either someone in my family or a friend who's no longer in Olam Hazeh, or maybe someone going back many generations ago. Right? Often I dream of approaching Willie Mays. Just joking. We have, though, many different places. He was well before my time. We do have many sources, though, that discuss these types of dreams where you're having a conversation, or at least you're receiving a communication from someone who's no longer in this world. How do we relate to that kind of chalom? In the Sefer Pnei David, one of the many svarim of the Chidah, he says that we know there's a much discussion on what exactly did Reuven do wrong with the episode of Bila. And he says that Shemati Meirav Godel Ashkenazi Zal, I heard from a great Rav, quoting from the Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch, he explained that what Reuven did is he walked past the Ohel of Yaakov and Bila in order to make it that it would be impossible halachically and hashkafically to engage in intimacy. That's what Reuven did wrong. Vayishma Yisrael Shayaholech Reuven, since Yisrael heard that Reuven was outside, so that's why there was a restriction of being together with Bila, and that was the Avera of Reuven. Okay. V'ata ba liyadi perush Rabbeinu Ephraim, writes the Chidah, more recently I found the perush of the Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he writes something similar. He had a very similar Mesorah as to what the chait of Reuven was. And he concludes, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, this is the Chidah speaking, Vishemati shechased dorash ze bedrash barabim. I heard that the Rabbeinu Ephraim shared this understanding of the sin of Reuven berabim. That was his drasha. Ubo love Reuven b'chalom v'nishka al rosho. And then Reuven came to him in a dream and kissed him on the head. I'm saying, he looked like Reuven. Exactly. Okay. These are all good questions, most of which we will not have answers for, but that's what the Chidah writes. And it's an interesting expression of affection, v'noshko al rosho. We find the same thing with the Gra, also in the Keser Rosh. Reb Chaim Volozhin writes that when the Gra was younger, there was one particular morning, Samach Ma'od, B'yud Gimel Shel Sukkos. The third day of Sukkos, he was very happy. So his father and mother asked him, what's going on? Why are you in such good spirits today? V'omer lehem, Shebo Yaakov Avinu V'nashrak Oso. And he said, Mommy, Tati, you won't believe what happened. Yaakov Avinu came to me in a dream, and he gave me a kiss. Okay. So nowadays, if that would be a conversation between parents and child, the next conversation would be, who specializes in this? But for the Gra, okay, so that's true. It doesn't say the Dafka came to him in a dream. But the same expression of Vinoshko also, that there is a kiss he received. One of my great Rebbeim, Rabbi Binyamin Luban, which is Shiva in Toras Chaim, he told us this Maisa many years ago, and I found it more recently in his Sefer Shema Bani, a Maisa with Rabbi Lazer Plachinsky, one of the great Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael in the Mishpacha of the Chazanish and the Shai Cohen, right, from ZA. So he's a son-in-law of Eliezer Plachinsky. Eliezer Plachinsky himself was a Gon Odir. He was an incredible giant of a man. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Beis Arye in Yerushalayim. He was a Talmud in Slobodka. He was a Talmud Muvok of the Chazon Ish. And he told a few stories about his father. The father of Reb Lezer Plotchinsky was an incredible Gaon, Reb Shlomo Yehuda Plotchinsky. And as a young man, he went to Slobodka. And one of the first shmuzin that he was there for, right, the altar of Slobodka was giving a shmuz to the yeshiva. And you could imagine, if any of us had the opportunity to be a fly on the wall, right, to go back in time and to be there in the base medrash of Slobodka, hearing a shmuz directly from the altar of Slobodka, of Nosson Tzvi Finkel, we would pay big money for that. And however much money they're going to pay to be able to go up into outer space for 5 seconds, millions of dollars, we'd pay more to be there in 10 minutes in the base medrash of Slobodka hearing a shmooze from Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel. So Shlomo Yehuda Plotchinsky was there for one of his first shmoozin in the yeshiva, sitting with the other bachrim. After the shmooze, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel goes over to Reb Shlomo and says, "Why weren't you paying attention to the shmooz? I could tell you weren't really engaged." Shlomo Yehuda answers back to the altar of Slobodka, "I'll tell you the truth, I was chazering Baba Kama." "How far did you get?" "I started on Daf Beis, and by the time the shmooz was over, I was on Daf Tzadi Zayin." Right, so we're assuming the shmooz, even say 45 minutes. Maybe they had more of an attention span back then. But first of all, it's a beautiful insight to his honesty, right? Any normal young man, when approached by the altar of Slobodka, "Why were you not engaged?" I would have answered, "No, I was totally locked in." That was incredible, right? "You just changed my life." But the Maisa, he was a Gavra Rabba, he was able to be honest, and he said, "I was chazering Baba Kama." It happened to be that Reb Nosson Tzvi took a very strong liking to Reb Shlomo Yehuda, and eventually he became the son-in-law of Reb Nosson Tzvi, right? So his son, Reb Lezer Plotchinsky, was the grandson of the altar of Slobodka. Now, even though Reb Shlomo Yehuda was the son-in-law of the altar of Slobodka, and he was incredibly brilliant, he was never offered a position in the yeshiva. Because lemaisa, he wasn't into the musar. Right? It could be that you're a goyin adir, and it could be, "I feel that I want no one else to be my son-in-law more than you," but you can't have a leadership role in the yeshiva. That's not the musar of the yeshiva. One maisa that Reb Lezer told also about his father, that in his brilliance, professors, Jewish and non-Jewish, would come to him with difficult mathematical problems. And once in a while, when he'd be taking a break from learning, he would sit there with a pen and paper, you know, making different cheshbonos, and then sometimes sending back the equation to the professor. And when he was asked the question, "I bittel Torah," I said, "How do you take time away from learning?" His response was, "Listen, everyone needs a break a little bit. It's okay. This is my oneg. This is how I get my mind off the more difficult things in life, and I do something geschmack. I'll solve some mathematical equations and send them back to the professors." Reb Lezer Plotchinsky said over that there was one time in yeshiva he was saying over a shir that was really one of the chidushim of his father. And ba'oso laila re'isi b'chalom avi lovush bigdei lovan u'ponav me'iros. That night, says Reb Lezer Plotchinsky, I saw this vivid image of my father who was wearing all white and his face was glowing u'beyado b'samim, and he was holding b'samim in his hands. Okay, l'maisa, all of us who are familiar with the Kisvei Arizal, we know the remez of holding b'samim, right, that's a davar choshev ma'od. Ein kan mokum laharich. But that means something very, very significant. Va'avi moser li esa b'samim, and my father with his glowing face, he handed me those spices. B'tochalom b'rachti brocha ala b'samim b'shemu malchus. And during that dream, I said a brocha on the b'samim saying shemu malchus. Shemuva b'svarim shezehu maila gadol levarich b'chalom. And it's brought down in the svarim that it's an incredible maila if you actually are saying the entire brocha in a dream. And then I smelled those b'samim, and when I woke up, they were so strong, and that smell was so potent, I could still smell it even once I was awake. The smell itself woke me up. So there are definitely situations, right? We go back to the Gra getting kissed by Yaakov Avinu. We have the Edus of the Chida, quoting from the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that when he said the drasha berabim to explain what the chait of Reuven was, he was kissed by Reuven in a dream. And then we have more contemporary gedolei olam who had similar types of interactions with people who were no longer in this world, showing affection and communicating within a dream. Now the reason, if you notice, we're not getting too much into the Gemaras themselves, because first of all, that would take us a year and a half, going through the different blot and the stiras in different places in Shas. But I will share with you one of the most well-known sources on this subject of dreams in halacha and hashkafa is a tshuva of the Shivas Tzion, the top of page 3. The Shiva Tzion was one of the great Talmidim of the Noda B'Yehuda. I think he was actually the son of the Noda B'Yehuda. Yes, he was the son of the Noda B'Yehuda. Look at the fourth line. Da l'cha huvi, Talmidi. Ki inyanei chalomos heim devarim mechusim mestumim. You should know the whole concept of dreams. They're hidden and they're closed off from our understanding. V'sibosim ne'la me'enei basar v'dam. And the real reasons for why we dream what we dream, the reasons are removed from us. V'gam yesh behem devarim misnagdim ze leze b'mikra u'b'divri chazal. And even going through psukim in Tanakh and in Chazal, oftentimes you'll find what seems to be a contradiction. So the idea here, the Shivas Tzion, is that we find much written on the subject. We have a vast literature on the meaning and the sibos of dreams. It's hard to take one approach and say one size fits all, meaning to say every dream is meaningful and we should take it seriously, does not seem to be the mahalach. And we'll see more about that in a moment. On the other hand, to say dismiss everything that happens in a dream and assume it means absolutely nothing is lav dafka the right approach either. Now, in this tshuva, the Shiva Tzion, he gets involved with some interesting halachic issues. Let's say, for example, I have a dream where my father comes to me, who passed away recently, and he tells me where a substantial amount of money is hidden. And he also says, however, all of that money should not be for the Yerusha, that was all already dedicated to Meiser. That should go straight to tzedakah. You wake up in the morning and you're curious. Right? So you're probably going to check the drawer. Is it actually there? Lo and behold, right there, you just find in dollar bills $8.5 million. Wow. That's incredible. One second. But if the dream was real and everything was true, so that means it's all Meiser. I get nothing. So am I obligated to assume it's Meiser? Or can I say, listen, Baruch Hashem, at least part of the dream was for sure true, but the Gemara tells us, E efshar b'eni chalom without devarim b'talim, maybe the Meiser was the devarim b'talim, right? So how would you paskin? So the halacha would be, you're allowed to keep the money. Because we don't know for sure that any element of that dream was true. Now, where the money was seems to have been true because you verified that. But anything you can't verify, you're left with a suffix. And therefore we would say, Hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. When it comes to monetary halacha, if you want to make me give money, you have to bring the raya. And therefore, officially, he'd be allowed to keep it. He has to give 10% of the 8 million, right? But he doesn't have to give away the entire 8 million. That's when it comes to dinei mamonis. How about iser v'heter? A question of, I'm not sure if the chicken is kosher. Okay. Oh, so let's say, right, there's a famous case, and there's a tshuva of the Nadbi Yehuda, who speaks about the Rabbeinu Ephraim, again, one of the Balei Tosfos, that the Rabbeinu Ephraim had to pasken on a fish. Now, he probably wasn't paskening whether or not it was a valid shechita, because fish don't need shechita, right? That's why you're allowed to fish. But he was paskening whether or not it was a species of fish that was kosher, something like that, and he pasken lahatir, that it's mutter. That night he had a dream, that it was revealed to him, he made a mistake. It was a tos. And in reality, the fish is usur. So it doesn't say the fish came to him in a dream. That's a different mice we have with the talking fish, right? Oh, so on one hand, we would say, Torah lo b'shamayim, right? Even if there was a baskel that came down. The Tanner, Rabbi Lazar, yes. However, he called the lady back up, right? Old-fashioned phones. That was still the rotary phone back in the days of the Balei Tosfos. And he said, I'm going to have to change my psak. I apologize. The Rabbeinu Ephraim changed his psak based on what was nisgala to him in the chalom. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, he says, for people like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that makes sense. However, Anan, people like us, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, right? People like us, commoners who know Kola Torah Kula and who could write tshuvas in every subject in Shas and Poskim, for us this would not apply. And therefore, if I had a dream telling me that I made the wrong decision, I wouldn't be goris it. Because Torah lo b'shamayim hi. It could be there when a different madrega, the Orcha Sadikim, speaks about dreams and he says, when a person is living a life of kulo emes, where everything is always with that bikusha emes, I'm searching for truth, to the point where I recoil when I hear or see something that even borders on sheker, once my entire inner world is channeled towards emes, then, says the Orcha Sadikim, you could assume even the dreams you have, they're not kulo emes, because you're always going to have devarim betalim, even Yosef had devarim betalim, but they're much more in line with truth. Great kasha. I have two more kashas, but... and you have a baskol, right? What has more chashivas, a baskol or a dream? Doctor, you wanted to say something? Oh, so let's do one more source, and then we'll get back to that question. Okay, getting more contemporary. This is from the Sefer Derech Sicha. He is a Talmud of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Levracha. And the Shaila was regarding a man who was davening by the Chazon Ish, and one time he approached the stipler, right, the father of Rav Chaim, and he had the following question. He says, on one hand, we have the pasuk in Zechariah that says, V'chalomos hashov yedabiru. Different ways to interpret the pasuk, but one understanding is, dreams, whatever they speak, are shov, they're worthless. We don't pay attention to them. However, the man said to the stipler, He had a dream, she'ochiv meis. Ul'acher zman hisbar v'nodelo she'chein b'diyuk b'oso laila meis ochiv. He said, I had a dream that my brother died, and it turned out, I found out a few days later, that it was not only that night, but it was as I was sleeping, very likely as I was having that dream, my brother passed away. So how can we say, Chalomos Hashov Yidaberu? L'chora, there's truth to this. So the Stipler answered back as follows. He says, I'll give you a mashal. If you have a chakran, you have a guy that lies all the time. Could it be that sometimes he's not lying? Yeah. Right? Not everything he says is sheker. So the same thing is true when it comes to the world of dreams. We assume, at least based on our madrega, and this is going back to the Noda Behuda, that whatever messages or images or interactions or communications that are happening within a dream, don't read too much into it. Don't be bothered by it. It's just most likely whatever's going on through your mind during the day, during this past week, that's where it comes out. Ayin Shom Vadukative in Freud and others. However, we do know from Chazal that there can be truth to dreams. So sometimes, even though generally we're not machshav a dream, sometimes a dream can be a revelation of truth. And in your case, it was. Okay. Let's stop here for a second and go back to our initial question. So when this man receives a dream Friday night, October 7th, take your wife and your children and leave immediately. Did I do the right thing? What would you say?
Second time around,
I would have said. So l'chora, the argument can be made. Listen, if you were a betting man, right? Let's say you woke up in the morning after having these two dreams and you had to make a wager. Would I bet that this dream is true? No. Most likely it's not. Obelemaisa. If there is a concept, what the Stipler was telling this man who had the dream about his brother passing away, if there is a concept that we know the whole yesod of Cholomos is that there could be little fragments of truth being conveyed to me as I'm sleeping, and according to the Ramchal, that's the whole point why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shayna in the first place, is there not at least a suffix that what I heard in my dream is true? L'chora, there is a suffix. And we paskin, when it comes to suffix nefashos, you have to be machmir. Machmir meaning in the pikuach nefesh. So an incredible psak of Rav Zilberstein, he said, what you did was not only allowed, you were mechuyev to take your wife and your children, get in the car, and drive on Shabbos away from the kibbutz. Oyim v'noira! Even if nothing happened, again, what takes place afterwards, does it have any revelation on whether or not the psak was true? I was leaving because there was a suffix sakana. I know enough about dreams to say, when it's that vivid and it's that real and it feels so genuine, I don't have to ignore it if there's a shailav sakana. Can we paskin iser v'heter based on it? The answer is no. Can the Noda be Yehuda paskin based on it? The answer is no. The Ben Ephraim was able to do so. Ayin Shom Vadukative. When it comes to Dine Momenis, there's never really a shaila because Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya, and you can't bring a Raya. We don't know the dream has any truth to it.
You don't even feel a certain way. Let's say you only have a dream one time, right? And then he wakes up. Okay, whatever. I didn't have a dream a second time. It doesn't feel so strong. Meaning, where do you draw the line of how deep does it have to feel for you to make a psak?
Right. How real does it have to feel to be able to arrive at this psak? I would say as follows. Generally speaking, we should not be over a surah deraisa based on dreams. As a klal, And if there's any way to communicate with one local, with one's or local Orthodox rabbi before being Mechal or Shabbos, I would do so. Not pashut at all.
We have a dream. Can we wake you up?
Call me. Call me. That's right. Okay, so let's do the last few sources here that are mamish lemaisa lemaisa, and then we'll call it a day. Okay, page 4, Aruch HaShulchan writes in the very beginning of Simin Reish Chaf. He says, a person who's an ish tohur machshavosa b'torah v'yira, v'yoshin shelo b'milui keres, he's not going to sleep as a baal taiva, halom shel ish kezeh vada yesh bo mamish. Person like this, we assume, yesh bo mamish. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and this has been reported, if you read his biography, right, more than once in his life, he would get up from a nap and he would ask someone to bring him kos shel yayin to make a siyum. Right? To make a siyum. Now the maisa, most likely none of us in this room are ever going to be on that madrega. Most likely. However, there are times when your mamish really osik in something to the point where that does become, whatever dreams you remember, often it's within that sugya. It's within that world. Yes? What's that? Right. So Rabbi Goldstein is asking a great question. When we saw earlier that there could be three different sources of dreams, why didn't it mention this idea of milui keres, of going to sleep on a full stomach? And the answer is, I think it does mention that. When it speaks about different chemical reactions in the body, you know, being gorim dreams, I assume it's referring to this. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan, avol anoshim hapshutim, Hamushukoyim behavle olam. People like you. Shehem Hashedim Hagamurim Hashodadim Hatzlachosim Ha'odim Amitis Vahabruyim Hashedim Asuyim Lakach Lahazik Velishtod Hatzlocha Amitis Shov Yidabeiru Chalomosehem Ve'ein Behem Mamish. Your average person, we're involved with all sorts of narishkeit and distractions. And for sure, anyone who has a smartphone, right? Your dreams mean nothing. That's the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, lemaisa, we come to the Aruch HaRabbeinu, and this is an incredible edus from the Chazon Ish. The Aruch HaRabbeinu is many volumes going through the life and times and hashkafa and halacha from the Stipler and the Chazon Ish. So, Sipur li, one of the great Talmidim, the Chazon Ish, that Moron, lo sam lev lechalomos roim. Chazon Ish didn't pay any attention to bad dreams. Va'af lo amar es ribono shalom b'riches kohanim. He didn't even say the paragraph of ribono shalom in the b'riches kohanim. The kol shekein shalom heitiv es chalom v'lo tzom. No hatavas chalom, never fasting a tainas chalom. Moron savar, shechalomos bizmanenu lo marim shum davar. The Chazon Ish held that dreams nowadays don't show anything. Rak boi merhuri halev. They only come from merhuri halev. Moran, referring to the Stipler, told me that the Chazon Ish told someone who came to him expressing anxiety over a dream that he had. He did tell this person, say the Ribono Shel Olam during Nesiyas Kapayim. So although he himself didn't feel it necessary, it sounds like maybe for others, if it would make them feel better, or maybe there was some real benefit in saying that.
They don't say it in Eretz Yisrael anyway.
What's that?
They don't say it in Eretz Yisrael.
Ever?
By
Yontif?
Nope.
Wow. Oyim v'noira.
What would the Chazon Ish have done if he'd gotten that for 7th?
Oh, so I want to get back to that in a second. Yes, let's do one more paragraph, and then I want to analyze that question. La'achir shecholm chalom shekosov be'sidr hayavit shenogu lizano salav afilu b'shabbos. The Sidr HaYavit has different types of dreams that you should fast even on Shabbos, and a person had one of those dreams. So they approached the Chazon Ish, and he said back, this is actually one of the short letters in the Kovetz Igros. He says, Harbe pomim chalamti kamo elo. Many times I've also had dreams like this. I didn't pay attention to this. Nachon, that you should say there, Bono Shalom B'Shas Nekiyas Nesiyas Kepayim. Now, Rabbi Safran's asking a good question. Would the Chazon Ish agree to the psak of Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein? Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein was saying, Lamaisa, whatever you're dreaming is probably not mamashus, but at least it's a suffix, and suffix pikuach nefesh l'chumra. If the Chazon Ish is saying that he wasn't Gurish dreams bechlal, would he argue in that psak of Reb Zilberstein? So the short answer is, I'm not sure. I could hear that potentially he would agree. Potentially the Chazon Ish would say, listen, I can't tell you, bevados, that dreams are always worthless. Because Lemaisa, that's lav dafka the case. In this particular circumstance, where the guy had the dream his brother died, that probably wasn't a coincidence. We're not going to have time, but the Chassam Sofer writes about himself that he had dreams. He had a dream the night his great Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, passed away. He had a dream of the five chumashim wearing sackcloth. And when he woke up, he knew that something took place. And he found out later, that's when his great Rebbe passed away. So there could be truth. Mamela, it could be he would agree, a suffix sakana. One last point here from the Sefer Maisa Ish, also stories and vignettes from the Chazon Ish. It says that this was with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Le'echad omer klum ata choshev, she'ata kol kach choshev, she'igal lecha devar min ha-shamayim. At one point in time, Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that the Chazon Ish told somebody who was concerned about a dream, you think you're that choshev that you're going to have a dream that has substance to it? Don't worry. Amar hayom ein sarich lotzum tainas chalom. And again, he repeats this idea. The notion of tainas chalom is no longer relevant bizman hazeh. Hakol ze ma'atzvim. What does that mean, ma'atzvim? It's depressing. Meaning, one major element of life and the Avodas Hashem is Ivdu es Hashem v'simcha. So if we don't really think these things help, to allow yourself to be too much in that world, and you're looking up different sources online and in different svarim and books, what does this dream mean? What does that dream mean? The Gemara in Brachos speaks about many different types of dreams and their significance. Spending way too much time in that realm will only most likely take you away from healthy avodas Hashem. And then he added, he says, "Ha'emes shegam le'inyan tainis." Even the different fasts that are referred to in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to do those types of fasts that are mentioned regarding Tainesim. He says, because Lamaisa Olam Hazeh, we're not concerned. So putting it all together, I think the basic conclusion is sleep and the world of dreams are fascinating. Like the Shiva Tzion said, generally, they're mechusim v'stumim v'sibosim ne'elam me'enei basar v'dam. There's a lot there that we'll never fully understand. There's a lot, theoretically, we can become in touch with when the neshama is free to leave the body and to soar in those higher realms. Whatever you receive from that is not your ikar growth, right? Lefi the gra. We should not allow ourselves to be anxious over bad dreams, but at the same time, we don't have to take any dream and assume it has no meaning whatsoever. If it could be used for hisoros, if it could be used for inspiration, for coming closer to Yiddishkeit, coming closer to Hashem, then the chorah, that's what Hashem wants me to do with that dream. All right, shkoyach.